Well, if you missed it, we wrapped up Nehemiah last week, and we're going to build off of something we talked about last week a little bit, but we probably will not actually start another book study, studying another book in the Bible until we get back from Turkey. So, you know, we'll have this week and next week, what we're going to share here is the things that we're going to do in Turkey. Going to teach you some of the things that we're going to teach in Turkey. Now, you've already had some of these things, but it'll be a reminder for you and maybe just give you a flavor for what our purpose and our direction is for Turkey. Now, Ken and I, you know, will be gone. We both will be gone for 2 Sundays. Ken will come back late Sunday night when he returns. Is that right? We'll be gone 2 Sundays, right? Yeah. And then I'll be back the next Thursday night after that. He'll come back on Sunday night, I come back on Thursday night. And then Carlton will be leading the music and be preaching the sermon, taking the offering, setting up the chairs. Good. I like the way things work out like that. if whatever happens during the week, if you can be here to support Carlton, and that would be good on those 2 Sundays, and maybe a little Hurley too to help with chairs and that kind of thing. You know, he takes a big responsible load of that, and obviously not only the teaching for those 2 Sundays, that is a big responsibility and out of the ordinary situation there for Carlton, but also responsibilities during the week of with the body and those kind of things. So I don't know. I guess I just remind you that to encourage, support, and pray for him during those week and a half or however long that's going to be. So what we're going to do this week and next week, and we'll see how far this extends, but we'll try to give you a feel for what we're going to do in Turkey. Here's 2 reasons we're going to do this. One reason is that if we're going to go over there and we're going to share these things with the Turkish church, you know, it's easy to go over in a situation like that and be intense for a week and a half or 2 weeks and pretend like you live like that all the time. Because that's the impression that you will give them. Now, it also will give them the impression, we go and we teach all this stuff, hey, we must have all this together and we're doing this all the time. And obviously I'll share that we're moving in this just like they are moving in this too, hopefully. But what I'm not comfortable with is that if we go and teach these things and that we as a body are not, I'm not saying we have to have it all down perfectly, but that we are moving in each of these areas. We're going to talk about Acts 2:42 again, the devoted twos. So just a reminder, not we're going to teach a full series on it, but a reminder to check yourself, both personally and as a body. Because most of you, not every single person, most of you were there when we agreed together that we were going to take on Turkey, that we were going to take on this mission to encourage and strengthen the church in Turkey. So, as a part of agreeing to that, in my mind, you are agreeing that we can't go over there and teach something we're not living. That just doesn't set well with me at all. So, this is the checkup. This is a checkup for us as a body. And checkups rarely go perfectly. So don't sit there thinking that we have to pass this with 100%. So don't, what I'm saying there is don't fool yourself. If there are areas that we need to address as a body and individually, then let's address them. Let's not just ignore them, because we're going to teach this to these people. And if we're not living it, then it's going to be shallow. It's going to be hollow. It's going to ring hollow to them and to us. So I think this is, you are accountable to live these things, as am I. And I'm going to read this to you. This is where we're headed today. Acts 2:42. And the following verses too. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, That's the word. And to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all their people, of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So our exact results may look different than theirs, but that's not our responsibility. Is to be faithful to the things that they were faithful to. And we'll talk about why and the reasons they were faithful to those particular things. Another thing that we're going to talk about in Turkey, and we'll talk about with ourselves too, and that is that we're going to talk about the tools of ministry. Now, this will help us if we use these tools of ministry that I'm going to mention. They will help us to see that the things that the early church was devoted to will actually show up in the church. Does that make sense? These are tools of ministry that we all use. Now, the elders need to be using these things and setting the example for the rest of the body. But the body needs to be using these tools of ministry among ourselves and the world. And those tools that are used to develop the devoted twos, the devoted twos, if you look back through that verse, they were devoted to the word. They were devoted to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, the cross. They were devoted to prayer. Other things they were devoted to, evangelism, abiding. So to see those things show up in the body, tools that not just that the leadership uses, but not just the leadership, that the whole body uses to see those things happen. The three things are the word is a tool. Now these things are going to be kind of intertwined, so don't let that confuse you. The word is something we're devoted to, but it's also a tool to get the church to be devoted to these things. So we use the word in ministry, we use prayer, and we use relationship, or presenting Christ. Actually, if you remember, a lot of you have read that article called Presenting Christ that kind of covers this, of in our relationships that we present the nature and character of Christ. So those are elders need to set the example, but the rest of the body need to follow suit in this, of using these in your ministry. Your ministry will look different than mine, but the tools are the same. The word, prayer, and relationship. Now, I'm not going to... Those two, the word and prayer, those two are critical. Those two are absolute. Relationship, though, fits in with those things. And we'll talk about the relationship, how those things work together in a minute. So, the other reason... That's one reason we're going to talk about these things, the devoted twos from Acts 2:42. The other reason is that I believe that it's the next step of where we were last week when we wrapped up Nehemiah. We wrapped up Nehemiah with this idea that, you remember Nehemiah went into the temple and one or more of the rooms was occupied by the wrong tenant. So he had to be Tobiah had to be thrown out of the temple. And we compared that to our hearts. That are all of the rooms of our heart, every single part, does every room of our heart belong to God? Does He have occupancy of those things, not self and not something we drag in there? So, and we talked about that the best way to keep those rooms cleaned out was that we understand and accept what we're called to. We are called to be slaves to Christ, doulos. And we looked at this definition of doulos. We got this from Romans 6 and other places, the last half of Romans chapter 6. That doulos is one whose will is swallowed up in the will of another. That's not a quote from Scripture, that's a definition of the Greek word doulos, which means basically bondservant. One whose will is swallowed up in the will of another, or one who serves another in disregard for his own interest. Now, we looked at kind of that God think, the way that God thinks and the way that God does things. If you would live, you must die, that kind of thing. And if you would really have joy, if you would really want to be able to delight yourself in the Lord, like the psalmist says, then that new nature that you have been given will only have that kind of joy and delight in God when it is in submission to God in this fashion. Doulos. Living for His purpose and for His cause. Living for the purposes of God. And what we see in the devoted twos, we call them, of Acts 2:42, are the purposes of Christ, what it looks like to have the purposes of Christ in your life. It's a little test. It's easy to say when we covered that, oh yeah, all the rooms of my heart belong to God. But if that is true, then we can go and look through these, because this is what it looks like when you are doulos. Because this is so fresh from Jesus being with these guys. And this is their response to the things that He taught them. So these are not only the purposes of Christ, His purpose in this world, they also are the methods to fulfill His purpose in this world. That one little picture of how what the church was doing. Now, sometimes the way to get people, encourage people, teach people to get to this place of doulos, this place of surrendering your will, of you belonging fully to Christ, one way to get people there is to teach on surrender, to teach on abiding, to teach on the fruit of the Spirit, and let the desire for these things flow out of that surrender. And we've done a lot of that kind of teaching. That's one way to see people get to the place of living for the cause and the purposes of Christ. But another way that is helpful, I think, is to just look in practical terms of what it looks like. For instance, if there's not a desire to pray, now you need to understand and you need to go through the process of surrendering your will to God, of putting your trust in Him, abiding. But sometimes, to grow the desire to pray, you just got to pray. To grow the desire for the Word, you just got to be in the Word. Now, God has been dealing with me for months. And you know, I've talked about this thing before. It's been my goal to spend often, maybe not once a week, but often, take a whole day or at least a half a day and spend that in prayer. Now, God has been nudging me about this, Holy Spirit, and I have not. Why have I not followed through? Well, I've got a lot of stuff to do. You know, and especially right now, you know, I've got all this stuff for Turkey. I need to communicate. I need to write these lessons. I need to prepare also for Sunday, for Thursday, for Sunday night, and the family and you guys. You know, it's like, okay, I've got a lot to accomplish here. Then I cannot afford not to pray then, is the thought that comes to me. And so finally I was obedient. Now, it's not that I haven't been praying. I've been praying for you guys. I've been praying. I've had my time, an extended time every morning, but God was calling me to be obedient in this. When I finally followed through, and I spent Friday, after I did the duties and did some stuff with Caleb and the things I needed to, and then sent an email, and then over to Turkey, and then, but then the bulk of my day, up until 5:30, was spent in prayer. You know, what I found was, on Saturday, I wanted to pray more. Well, man, I prayed for everybody in this room and others, everything relaxed. I could just pray and just everything that God brought to my mind, everything I knew, I could just pray for every individual and then for Turkey. And then I still on Saturday. And then on Saturday night, after I'd studied and it's time to go to, it was not force of discipline. It was, I desired to go take a walk and pray. Now, you see how the prayer grew the desire to pray. Same with the Word. Same with all these other things we're going to talk about. These things don't all happen naturally if you're just a Christian and you want to follow God. Sometimes you have to do them. And that's why I thought the practicality of talking about these things, that sometimes we need to just do them. Now, if there's sin in our life, we need to obviously deal with that, repent. But sometimes we need to just do these things and let God grow the desire in us to continue on with them. So that's what we're going to do, is try to identify these things and let the Holy Spirit identify with you areas of obedience, areas with me and with the body as a whole. So, and just to quick review from these devoted twos. You remember in the early church, those final teachings of Jesus were fresh on their mind. On the apostles in particular. The apostles were, they were specially gifted men. They were sent out personally by Jesus. Paul, remember, was sent out personally by Jesus. Jesus had appeared to him. They were sent personally by Jesus. And they knew the details of Jesus' life. They knew what he was asking of them. They knew what it looked like to teach. They knew what it looked like to pray. They had seen him praying all night. They knew what it was like to build relationships with people. And that's what he did with them. They knew what it looked like. They knew his love for them. And it was fresh on their mind. They remembered the tender moments of the upper room. Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, washing their feet. They understood it all now. They remembered that Passover feast. They remembered walking from that room to the Garden of Gethsemane. And along the way, Jesus teaching them about the vine and the branches. You are the vine. I am the branches. You can do nothing apart from me. You have union with me. You are my friends. All these things were fresh on their mind. And then the resurrection. Now they understood. They understood the cross. They saw, they understood, they were identified. All the Old Testament, all of history was leading up to this. The cross. And then the desperate days before the resurrection. And the resurrection of Jesus back to them. And promising to come back. And promising he would never leave them. And giving them the structure and the outline of the church. All these things. They are now passionate for God and for his purposes. Jesus is living in them by the Holy Spirit. They now have a power they never had or knew before. They are teaching with passion the things that Jesus taught them and was continuing to reveal to them. And the church, the body was pure. All those that were in the body were true believers. They too were passionate about following God and being obedient to him. So let's look at Jesus' final command there. It's so familiar to us, but Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, now these words are going to ring in their ears. I will promise you. Do you not think that the last, before Jesus ascends into heaven, after he's risen from the grave, and they're going to remember these things. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And of course, Paul refers back to these things in 2 Corinthians 5:20 when he calls us Christ's ambassadors, representatives. And Christ says, referring to the same idea in John chapters 13 and 14, that we will do what he did. He says, we will do, as his representatives on this earth, we will do what he did, that we will be appointed to it. And then in John 17, throughout his high priestly prayer in John 17, to condense that basically, he says, we are to know him. We are to know him, and we are to make him known. And in Romans and in Galatians, Paul writing that Jesus himself will carry on his ministry in and through us by faith, which this must include doulos, that we take on the cause and the purpose of Christ. Not that we add it to our own purpose. It's not that at all. It's that we were slaves to self. We're told that specifically. Think of what a change it would be for your life if you were suddenly to become a doulos, a bondservant of someone else. You think about the drastic change. You're taking on their will. You're taking on their... No longer is it about you. You're taking on the purpose and the will of this other person and submitting joyfully your will to theirs. That's the kind of drastic change that we're talking about. Yet, we are told that if you would have joy of continually delighting in the Lord, this is the path that we must take. Doulos, taking on it's not that we add on His purposes. We rip out ours and we replace with His. Our core is different now. And that sounds painful. I'm not going to say it's not painful. But if you would have joy in Christ, that is what must happen. So, back to the Turkish church now. Our primary goal in our relationship with the Turkish church is to help them wherever we can, or maybe I should say to help the church wherever we can, maybe not just in Turkey, to become devoted to these things so that the body of Christ can fulfill the call of Christ and go and make disciples. So that's our purpose in Turkey. So we need to check ourselves as a body and individuals. Are we living these things? And we're not doing this so we can beat ourselves up, and we're not doing this so we can puff ourselves up, but to listen and obey where applicable. That's our purpose in what we're doing here. So, Acts 2:42 again. I may skip around just a little bit here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers together had everything in common. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Just as a quick review, we studied that word devoted to. And what a strong word that is in the Greek. It is to be earnest towards, to persevere in, to be constantly diligent, to adhere closely to give self continually to continue in and to wait on continually. In other words, pay attention to these things. Church, individuals, pay attention to these things. And we should have a plan for doing these things, both personally and as a body. When we talk about the Word, then we need to have a plan. How are we reading the Word? How are we studying the Word? And the body, the church, needs to have a plan. How are we doing this? A plan on prayer. We need to make sure these things are a part of us. These are vital, both to know God and to make Him known. They're vital to His cause and His purpose, both in the church and in the world. So if the church and if you as an individual would fulfill the cause and the purpose of Christ in the church and in the world, then these things must be a part of us and a part of us together. So that's why we look at them. The Word. Now, we talked about a little bit last week about the tendency of all of us. We tend to wander. We tend to stray. We tend to leave the God we love. I suspect that many times it may start right here, that we tend to leave the Word. Either we stop reading the Word, or perhaps we start going through the motions of reading the Word. We're not really meeting with God over the Word. We're not acquainting ourselves with God over His Word. Learning and studying the Word, both for ourselves and from what we read and the teachings of the church. You see, this is what I believe, how God works through the giftings of the local body, the structure of the local body, the way He set up the local body, is that what the church is teaching is what you need. You can hear a sermon on the radio. It may strike you at just the right time and just the right moment. I believe in listening to teaching. Do it. And listen to tapes. I do it. It's good. It adds to your whole well-rounded, gives you some other perspective. But what this church is teaching is for you. I can't guarantee you the same for Dr. Dobson or Don Landis or whoever else that you're listening to. Now, I'm not saying they're not good teachers. Way above and beyond me, for sure. But God doesn't care about that. And I'm thankful. He's put leadership in this church, and He's put stuff on our heart to teach. As inadequate as it may be, it's where God has you, and so He wants you to ponder these things, to think on them and to be obedient in them. Check them out. Make sure they're from the Word, of course. You don't just take what we say as blind faith. You check it out for yourself. Certainly, you are to do that. But you are to ponder and respond to the things that you get from the teaching of your local body. And we're no different than the local body across the... if they're a scriptural body. So, it's the same applies to them also. So, you personally must make ample time. And after you have understood what you read and you have pondered it and searched it out, just like we said to the kids this morning, then you believe it. You apply faith to what you read. And that I believe the body must have a plan to equip the saints with the Word to become mature and useful so each one can understand and handle the Word of God. All preaching, teaching, planning, worshiping, sharing together must flow out of the Word of God. That's how it works. Everything is founded on and based on the Word. Everything we do, what we think, what we say, it's founded and based on the Word. And what we do and what we teach must fit in with the central themes of the Bible. And you see where we're going with Turkey with this, is that we have something to share with them here. And I'll share you exactly our plan to do that in just a minute. Let's look at this verse, this Luke 24:27. Should be a familiar verse to you. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself. The things that we teach in the body, we do not teach in isolation. It all has to fit together within the context of the whole Word. And that's one of our philosophies in teaching the Word here, is that we want it all to fit together to where it's, you know how to recognize when something does not fit into the Word. And this is going to be critical for the church in Turkey. They're going to hear all kind of stuff in that setting, in that situation. They need to know what fits and what doesn't fit with the big picture of Scripture. And we need to know also. So, let me just read. We put these verses up on the screen the last time we went through these, but I'm just going to read through some of these. I'm not going to give you a reference for each one of these. If you want these afterwards, I can give them to you or I'll email them to you. But I don't have room on all the notes, on the notes there on your bulletin. So I'm just going to give you a sampling of the Word. This is the focus of the Word on the Word. So let me just read a few of these to you. And we will give our attention to prayer. Now listen, when I do this, don't check out on me, please. It's temptation. I'm reading, so it's temptation to check out. But this all fits together. So you use some discipline of the mind and stay with me. And we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Those are two of the tools of leadership, remember? Those are the two critical tools of the apostles. The Word and prayer. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the Word of the Lord. And they preached the Word in Perga and went down to Attalia. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the Word of the Lord. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And you know I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body may be built up. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. I will praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings just as I passed them on to you. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. And we hope to pass this on to the church in Turkey. We hope to give them a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus, that they too can pass that on. You have a Turkish pastor. He's going to take, there's a guy right now that's going to take over the church in Antioch, the Vatican Church. He has no education, I'm sure. I doubt seriously he's had any seminary. And so, much training. He's about to take this on. What if we can give him a tool, a pattern of teaching, not only for him, but for those that follow him? A pattern of sound teaching and good doctrine. He's going to have all kinds of things come at him. He's going to have missionary groups come in there and teach all kinds of stuff. He needs to have something solid to fall back on and to pass on to those that follow him. One of our purposes in going there. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. And then open to Psalm 119. Verse 11. As we read this, think about this more along the lines of your personal reading. That not only do you read and meditate and possibly memorize, but as you read the Word and you connect with God over His Word, that you yield your heart to what you read. I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. We believe that one of the contributions we have to make in Turkey is to give them an appreciation for the Word of God and a love for the Word of God and a pattern of sound teaching of the Word. And our plan here, we've already taught through Firm Foundations. We now, that Stranger on the Road to Emmaus book, basically the Creation to Christ, that book has just been translated into Turkish. So we're bringing in some copies of that. We already have the outlines for that book done in Turkish. What we have just, I've talked to New Tribes Missions. They've given us permission to translate the Building on Firm Foundations. You know where we go after Firm Foundations, we go into Acts, Romans, and we keep on going. And now a lot of the stuff we teach, we add stuff in there. You know, we'll do a series on surrender or on the family. We'll go in deeper to Revelation on the LDS church, or we'll study different things. But basically the foundation of what we teach in that comes from New Tribes Building on Firm Foundation. So this is a huge project. It's not a minor thing. These are books, a stack of books. But we're going to get started. Dan, the pastor there at the Vatican Church in Ankara, has a Turkish believer that he says is great at translating. We'll have to pay this guy. It's only fair to pay him. It'll be a job to do this. But I hope to bring these books when we go. We'll bring these books. We'll try to get the translation work started. And that way, when they start to go through Acts, if the translators can just keep ahead of the first group, so they can do what we have done, basically, that when somebody comes into the body, within a time period of about 3 years, that person will have gone through all the most important doctrine and theology of the Bible, the central core of the whole Bible. They will have gone through in about 3 years. They'll have other teaching, obviously, like we do too. But if we can give that tool to them, wow, what an impact that can make on the whole church in Turkey, not just one or two churches and other people that will be able to take advantage of that. So, where did the time go? Y'all thought just 5 minutes had passed, didn't you? Well, not over eight. I'm going to jump into this. I'll stop if I need to stop, but this is on my mind and my heart, so I'm going to keep going here. Number two, this is the only one we'll just cover the Word and fellowship today of the devoted twos. Fellowship, koinonia, participation. I think this definition is on your outline there. You look at these words that define fellowship. Participation, communicate, guys, communicate, communion, Sharing in common. Partner. Partaker. And I don't think we'll go to all these verses, but 1 John 1:3-4, read that. The implication there is the roof off, nothing between us and God, and the walls down, nothing between those around us. And Hebrews 3:12-14 says this, encourage one another daily, urging each other to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what that word encourage, we won't dig into that right now. In the Greek, that word encourage does not mean just a pat on the back, looking great, you're doing good, go get them. It means, no, you need to go get them. You need to be conformed. It's urging to be conformed to the image of Christ. It's pushing them to give themselves wholly to God. That's what that verse means. Urging them to be conformed to the image of Christ. Your relationship with God will eventually be surface and shallow if your relationship with the body is surface. Eventually, that's where it will go. Praying and partnering together with the body for God's purpose is not only vital for God's purpose, it's vital for you and your relationship with God. To partner together with the body and with individuals in the body for God's purpose. Romans 15:5-7. I'm sorry we're not looking all these up, but I'll give you the gist of it. Accept one another. Let's look up that one. That's a good one. Romans 15. We may have to come back to this, but I want to at least touch on it today. Romans 15:5-7. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify God, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews, and it goes on there. Accept one another, bear with one another, forgive one another, but we combine that with urging one another on. We must not back off on the call to bear fruit. That we urge each other to bear fruit in our lives, all the while accepting one another when the fruit is not there. But all the while urging one another to bear more fruit. There has to be that loving combination there of accepting and spurring on. Now, fellowship also, we know, can be a tool in evangelism. But we won't get into that just right now. Now, related to this fellowship is one of the tools of ministry that I mentioned earlier. This tool of presenting Christ in our relationships. It's not just about fellowship. It's a tool of ministry. It's one of the key tools of ministry, along with the word and prayer. Philippians 1:27 says, stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. We will not receive all this benefit unless we are devoted to fellowship. Not as a duty, but that we are devoted to because it is the cause of Christ. But seeing the benefit in it and willing to sacrifice for it. Paul said similar things many times, but I'll just quote this one from 1 Thessalonians. He says, we were delighted to share not only the gospel, but our lives as well. I don't think Paul was a natural relationship guy. I don't think it came natural to him. But I think that relationship was one of the key things in his ministry. The word, prayer, and relationship were the tools that Paul, primary tools, that Paul used. Now, it's all over the place in the Word. This idea of fellowship and this idea of relationship being a tool of ministry. And let's just go to two places. John 1:39. Now, there's so many to choose from. I could go to 100 different places. But right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, I want to point this out. John 1:39. It could slip by you if you didn't take time. Come, he replied. This is Jesus talking to his first disciples. Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying. It could just slip right by you. And spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. That was the first thing they did. They spent the day with Jesus. And then over to John 3:22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. You could pass right by it, but it's a definite mention for a purpose. He spent some time with them, and on and on. Now, there's a fine balance in being obedient to this. It requires adopting the attitude of doulos. True fellowship and relationship as a tool in ministry requires you to have adopted the attitude of doulos. And yes, it is about open doors. When God just presents things to you and you need to walk through those open doors. That could be fellowship in the body. That could be relational tool of winning the lost. We need to be abiding and we need to be ready and we need to be communicating with each other. But it's also about initiating, taking the initiative to spend time for true fellowship and taking the initiative to develop relationships for the purpose of evangelism. It takes time to build partnerships and to win the lost. But you see this in the ministries of these guys all throughout. You see this, all three of these things. You see these tools of ministry and you see fellowship in the body. I mean true fellowship and sacrifice to have it. Now personally, when I look back on my ministry, and this includes being a pastor and it includes not being a pastor officially, as much as I have focused on the word and prayer, and those have been two focuses of my ministry, and I believe those have to be there. I was trying to follow the example of the apostles in Acts chapter 6, where they left behind other things so that they could focus on the word and prayer. But when I look back on my ministry, my greatest impact has been when combining these two things, the word and prayer, with friendship. Honest to goodness, regular old friendship. Relationship. And yours may look a little different than mine. I'm aware of that. And you may not care to follow my example. But think of Jesus' example in this. And think of Paul's example. Because I think they would say the same thing. And I think even Jesus would say the same thing on a human ministry level. That the word, yes, and prayer, yes, combined though, with honest to goodness, sacrificial friendship and partnership. You cannot deny that. If you don't believe that, please come to me and let's debate it. Seriously. If you don't believe that, then I challenge you to come to me and let's debate this. Because friendship, I mean the church and the body and the ministry of the word and prayer takes place within the friendships of the body. And how do we reach the world? They got to know we love them. And we're willing to sacrifice our time for them. It may be the toughest thing to do. But when I look back and I look behind me, this is not in the least bit prideful. I promise you that. When I look behind me and I see where I've had my impact, I see friends that are now living for God that were living for the devil. It was not just the hearing the word on the radio. It was not just hearing a sermon. It was sacrificial relationships, patience, and perseverance. And it will happen. And if you're not going to commit to giving your life in this fashion, you have just cut a leg off the stool. You can still teach. Good. I think teaching is great. Even without it, teaching is great. I can listen to the radio. I can get impacted by it. But I know what changes lives. And I see that in the life of Jesus. And I see it in the life of Paul. And I'd like you to examine it to see if what I say is true or is it false. That must be a part of our ministry. And I'm not just, now the elders have to lead the way in this. I'm not ashamed to say that. We've got to lead the way in this and set the pace, set the example. But if you, and we all are called to a ministry, this must be a part of our ministry also. And I think this is something we need to transfer this whole big picture. Not taking that out and isolating on it and focusing on, over-focusing on that. That's a mistake. First, we need the Word and we need prayer. That's my opinion. But we better have the other going along in the body too. True fellowship. But our friendships and relationships in the body must lead to partnership. It must lead to partnership for the cause of Christ. Or it has the potential to become unhealthy and self-focused. You see, it's not just coddling each other, to coddle each other and to make each other feel good. If we had a rough day, that's good. But it's got to lead to partnership where it's not us at the center, it's Christ at the center. And we are partnering together for the purposes of Christ. We take on the cause of Christ with others. And I promise you this, you will be blessed if you do this. I know in my own life, I would be hard put to say there's been a bigger blessing in my own life than partnering together with others for the purposes of Christ. I've made many mistakes in it, for sure. But yet, some of the blessings of living this Christian life come out of those partnerships for the cause of Christ. In conclusion, what we are looking at is taking on the cause of Christ. And at the same time, the methods of taking on that cause. So, we're looking at both of those things mixed together. And doing these things develops a hunger for more. Now we'll get to the rest next week. But in the meantime, consider. And this is, we're going to Turkey. All of you are being represented in this. So, you have to, and I have to consider, are you devoted to the Word and to fellowship?